الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، all praises due to Allah, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First and foremost, I apologize for last week. I had a khutbah to deliver in English at the Mushrifa Dawah Center, and this is why I didn't show up. Not that I don't care. Secondly, I apologize for my voice. I'm a little sick. So inshallah, I hope you'll be able to comprehend my speech. The topic of today's khutbah was about the value of the believer in the sight of Allah. What is the value of the believer in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He began the khutbah by quoting an ayah from the book of Allah, which we should all be very familiar with. It is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, and whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, will be in the company of those whom Allah has bestowed His favors upon, from among the prophets and the Siddiqeen, the truthful ones like Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, Maryam as-Siddiqa, Aisha radiallahu anhum jami'an, wa shuhada, the martyrs, and the scholars are included in shuhada because they bear witness to the truth. والصالحين and the righteous Muslims, male and female, of all kinds. وحسن أولئك رفيقا, and what an excellent companionship is the companionship of those. ذلك فضل الله, ذلك الفضل من الله وكفى بالله عليما. That is the favor from Allah, and sufficient is Allah as the all-knower of everything. He said, the Shaykh, may Allah preserve him, the believer has a special value with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he has a lofty status and respect both in this life and in the life to come. Furthermore, he has this kind of honor and respect among mankind and among jinn. Even the jinn, they're able to distinguish between the righteous Muslim and the evil wicked Muslim. And he said, this is why you will find that the majority of people who have been possessed by jinn, one way or another, are usually people who are involved in sin and negligence. Not all the time, but usually it's because of their lack of religious commitment that the jinn have access to them. However, when the jinn wants to come in contact with a believer, that believer has a fortress which prevents the jinn from affecting him or from dealing with him in any sense. So then, and most importantly, the believer has a value and a special status with Allah, the knower of the unseen. There's no God worthy of worship but Him. All goodness lies in His hand, and He's able to do all things. The Shaykh asked a question. Do you want to know? Would you like to know your status, your value with Allah? Listen with me to these particular verses from the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jal says, it is He who yusalli alaykum. Now some may get confused. Well, how does Allah do salah on someone? Right? We are the one who do salah to Allah. And you say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. What does that mean? Because salah means prayer. And does Allah pray to anyone? He's the one who people pray to. The ulama have explained that the salah from Allah upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or upon the believers is that Allah will mention these people among the angels that are nearest to Him. Meaning your name or the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be mentioned and will be praised. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. His remembrance will be made among the highest and the most noble of angels and those closest to Allah, among those who carry the throne and otherwise. So it's means of purification from Allah. It means of raising the status of the servant and nothing more than that. It is He who, yusalli alaykum, now you know the meaning, and His angels. So He may take you from the darkness to the light. And verily He to the believer is ever most merciful. The day they will meet Him, the day the believers will meet Allah, their greeting will be salam. The same one we have in the dunya. وَأَعَدَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا كَرِيمًا, and He has prepared for them a generous reward. So then, the Shaykh said, excuse me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning you among the angels that are closest to Him. And the angels are supplicating to Allah so that we will be taken out from the darkness to the light. So if the human beings don't appreciate the believer, Allah appreciates the believer, and the angels appreciate the believer. And if you were to compare between Allah and the angels and some lousy human being, then there's no room for comparison. We don't even have any basis. Who cares what the people think? If Allah is pleased with one, a person who believes in Him. He quoted another ayah in Surah Ghafir. Those who carry the throne, and you all know the belief system of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, embodied in the four madhahib, which we all claim to follow one way or another, and the righteous predecessors of this ummah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above the throne, above the heavens, in a manner which befits His majesty. How? Allahu a'lam. He didn't reveal to us how, but He revealed to us that He is above the throne. Ar-Rahmanu 'ala al-'arshi istawa. We don't deny what Allah says in the Quran because our minds are unable to understand it. And we don't imagine Allah as a human being, so we try to deny something that we don't understand except in human beings, because laysa kamithlihi shay, there's nothing like Allah. So when He says something, we just believe. So there are angels which carry the throne of Allah Azza wa Jal, and Allah is in no need of the throne. The throne is in need of Allah. Don't think that Allah needs the throne and the angels need to carry the throne to Allah. Allah is above the throne. No one will say Allah is sitting on the throne, as some people erroneously say. We cannot attribute sitting to Allah because we don't have a text from the Quran and the Sunnah. Fawq is above. Khalas. And angels are carrying the throne, and Allah is above all that. Above His creation. And the throne is from the creation. Allah is above the creation, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But He knows everything we do, and He knows the intricate thoughts in our minds that no one else would know except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those who carry the throne and the angels around it, they glorify the praise of their Lord and they believe in Him. Furthermore, they seek forgiveness to those who believe. The angels ask Allah to forgive those who believe by saying, "Our Lord, You have encompassed everything with Your mercy and with Your knowledge. So then forgive those who have repented. Forgive those who have repented, وَاتَّبَعُوا سَبِيلَكَ, and they followed Your path, the path of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَقِهِمْ عَذَابَ الْجَحِيمِ, and protect them from the torment of the hellfire. Our Lord, then admit them into the gardens of delight which You have promised them. Them and whoever has become righteous among their fathers, among their spouses, and among their children. Verily You are the One who is full of might, and You are the All-Wise. And protect them from sayyi'at. Protect them from evil deeds. And whoever You protect from evil deeds on that day, the day of judgment, فَقَدْ رَحِمْتَهُ, verily You have shown mercy to him. وَذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ, and this is the great success. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assigned angels that make it part of their task to ask Allah to forgive the believers and to allow us to enter paradise and to protect us from evil deeds. Who made them do that? Allah. Did they do it on their own, or are they inspired and they're guided and they're commanded by Allah? The angels are commanded by Allah. لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. They don't disobey Allah concerning any command, and they do everything they're commanded. So Allah commanded the angels to do this for the believer. So while you're sitting here in the masjid, angels are asking Allah to forgive you and to show mercy to you and to permit you to paradise. So the angels then are on our side, unless we do something that will prevent them from coming to our homes. And we dealt with some of the khutbah translations, that listening to music at home, having pictures hanging on the wall, and having a dog in the house, all these are means for the angels to leave the house. They will not enter the house. And so one does not miss out on this opportunity over some worldly insignificant matter. The Shaykh said, this is your value, O believer. This is your status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So do not accept anything lesser than that. Do not accept anything lesser than that. Let iman intertwine with your flesh and with your bones. Become one. They let him let iman internalize in your body. So your body and your iman will be one entity. Not that physically we are one thing and spiritually we are another. The spirituality should appear physically. It's one entity. Let the iman, excuse me, run through your veins the way blood runs in your vein. And let this iman become the hearing with which you hear, and the seeing with which you see, and the tongue with which you speak, and the hand with which you strike, and the foot with which you walk. Verily, Allah says, say, inna salati, verily my prayer, my sacrifice, my living and my death are for Allah, the Lord of everything. He has no partners, and this is what I have been commanded, and I am among the first to submit to His will. And be careful, O mu'min, that you should go after this dunya and stretch your sight to those whom Allah has given the dunya as a fitna for them. Allah prohibited the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the Quran, do not extend your sight to that which we have entertained, matana, entertained groups among them. It's the flower, it's the beauty, the adornment of this life, of this world. لِنَفْتِنَهُمْ فِيهِ, so it may be a test for them. It may be a fitna for them. وَرِزْقُ رَبِّكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى, but the sustenance and the provision of your Lord is better and more lasting. Which is Jannah. It is better, the Jannah is better than anything in the dunya and more lasting. The dunya will come to an end, what is in Jannah will never come to an end. Rather will increase. So then the believer, the virtue or the value of the believer is that he should look up to the sky and he should not look down to the earth. We should always try to elevate ourselves in terms of our faith in Allah and not look down at the dunya and the people of the dunya and consequently be distracted from the objective of life. The Shaykh said, the value of the believer is not that the people give you certificates and letters of appreciation and thankfulness and you know all these kinds of plaques that they have now, you know, thank you very much for attending such and such course. He said it goes way beyond something like that. These gifts that the people give you as a token of appreciation, they do not benefit you and they do not put an end to any hunger. And the virtue of the believer is not that he's given some status or some fulus, some money or some, you know, among the people. But his true value is in his iman. And that the life to come is more lasting for him than that of the dunya. The virtue of the believer is not in the clothes which he wears, or the food which he eats, or the car which he rides. But it is what he carries in his heart from love to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and love to the friends of Allah and hatred against the enemies of Allah. An important note here that I'm adding for myself, and bear with me since I'm the translator, you have to kind of you have to digest some of my own personal notes. The issue of loving the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been misunderstood by the vast majority of Muslims today. It's something that doesn't seem to click amongst many. When we say we love Allah and we love the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this love of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not equal to the love of your mother, your father, your brother, your sister. They're not the same kind of love. Because your father may be a doctor and he wants you to be a doctor. But you hate the medicine field. You like to be an architect. You not loving what your father does not mean that you don't love your father. You still love him, but you disagree with him. You don't have to follow him in his way of life because you have another way of life that does not affect your love to him. Okay, this is one kind of love among the family members. This is not the way we love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our love to him is materialized in following. It's not just, oh, I love him. Okay, so why don't you do the things he does? Well, you know, I don't like it. Well, then you don't love him. You know, you remember his name and you just say, you know, Allahumma salli wa sallim alayhi, or you feel a little, you know, something. That's not love. That's not love. The Christians do this with Jesus. The Hindus do this with their gods. They feel love and affection to their false gods. It doesn't mean anything. Our love to the Prophet ﷺ must be in following him. If we're not following Him, we're playing games with ourselves. It is not love. And Allah knows it is not love. Because Allah said in the Quran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. If you love Allah, then follow me, Allah will love you. Not just say you love me, follow. When you follow someone, you walk on the same path they walked on. Then and only then you're a follower. Otherwise you're not. So pay attention to that, my brothers. We need to really love Him, and that means that we imitate Him. And our deen came with a full package. Okay, it didn't come and say, you know, we only will deal with the shipping, somebody else will do the handling, or you will do the shipping, you'll do the packaging, we'll do the shipping, you do the accounting. No, no, no. It's a whole business. The packaging and the shipping and the handling and the payment and the employees and the delivery, everything is in one in Islam. So you can't pick and choose. Well, I like this part, but I don't like this part. Well, this is okay, but there's no such thing. Either you follow the whole thing, or you're tricking yourself. To enter Jannah, we cannot enter Jannah with tricks. You know, enter Jannah with genuinely. So we need to be mindful of this particular fact, because it seems, excuse me, that there's a huge misconception among the Muslims concerning that. Tayyib, the value of the true believer is understood in the light of what he provides as service for this deen. The Shaykh was saying, the more you work, you implement Islam, and you invite people to Islam, this is an indication of the iman which you carry in your heart. So it is not merely that you have iman and everybody else can go to hell. Okay, well, who cares what the Hindus believe? They'll go to Jahannam. Yes, this is the fact. If they don't change their ways, but is it not obligatory on us to invite them to Islam? It is. So your iman, your value with Allah, is not that you keep iman to yourself and you don't share it with others. Rather, sharing it is part of your iman. And there are many verses and narrations which reinforce this idea. Time does not allow to elaborate right now. Then the Shaykh went on to say, so all believers, young and old, males and females, depend on Allah. And depend on Allah. And deal with Allah. Rely upon Allah. Be patient. And fear Allah, perhaps you will attain success. So now he says, have you known your value, Ya Abdullah, O servant of Allah? You are the most valuable jewel. You are the most valuable jewel in this creation. And you are more valuable than everything because of what you carry in your heart from iman. Have you realized that? He says, leave the dunya for the people of the dunya. Let them play the way they like to play, and let them collect whatever they could collect of it. As for you, O believer, then verily you know, your slogan is what Allah says in the Quran, O mankind, verily an admonishment, an exhortation has come unto you from your Lord, and shifa, and a cure for that which is in the chests, wahudan, and guidance, wa rahmatun lil mu'mineen, and it is mercy to the believers. Say, concerning the favor of Allah and His mercy, then have joy. This is better than what they are accumulating. So when you feel happy, you feel happy because of the iman that Allah has given you and the mercy that Allah is showing to you. Not happy because of the dunya. We're not happy. This is why a true believer, if he misses salah in a jama'ah, his whole week is ruined. This righteous predecessors, they would give azah, you know, like condolences, as if somebody died. If a brother missed Salatul Jama'ah, he'd be crying outside. And the people will come and, you know, trying to make him feel better. And قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ مَا شَفَعَ عَلِينُ مُصِيبَةً. This is a musibah. It's a calamity. He missed a single Salatul Jama'ah. Now, it's very normal. Well, ما في مشكلة. We can miss as many salawat as we can, no problem. See? This is the change of ways and understandings. But this is the true believer. He has this particular feeling. So then he said, so then congratulations to each and everyone who's been given the quality of Iman. The one who's been wearing the robe of Iman. And congratulations to the one who has adorned himself with the adornment of Iman. And then he said, among the greatest favors upon this ummah is that there are a large number of teenagers, youngsters, youth, who have started, both male and female, who have started to adhere to the teachings of Islam. That which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down, according to the way Allah sent it down, not according to innovations. And you could see the appearance of the teachers of Islam on their faces, in their bodies, in their behavior. You could tell that they're Muslims from a long distance. And this is something, and many of them, alhamdulillah, have memorized the book of Allah. They have contained the book of Allah in their hearts. And their minds have become means to interpret the true teachings of Islam. And their ibadah, their worship, it signifies the practical sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And their meetings are meetings that are full of iman, full of reminders, full of things that will increase the iman and get them towards Jannah. They love what Allah loves, and they hate whatever Allah hates, and they are pleased with whatever pleases Allah, and they hate whatever Allah hates, and they are displeased with whatever Allah is displeased with. And so you feel, the Shaykh said, you feel that these are the awliya of Allah. And because again, major misconception, wali, who's the wali? أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. Allah told us in the Quran, who's the wali? Not the one who they build, you know, a construction around his grave, and the people say he's the wali, and they go visit him, you know, and seek aid from him, do shirk with him. That's not the wali. He could be burning in his grave. He could be the enemy of Allah in his grave. We don't know. Did anyone open the grave and see him in Jannah? Allahu A'lam. Who's the wali? Allah says, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. Those who believe and used to have taqwa. Meaning anyone here. Anyone here could be the wali of Allah. The friend of Allah. The one who Allah protects and guides. It's not special people that are written in books that the people magnify and deify besides Allah. This is from the innovations that have come into the ummah to take us away from tawheed, which is what Islam is built on. So that's not the wali. You could be the wali. You could be the wali of Allah Azza wa Jal. And these youth, alhamdulillah, they have these qualities and characteristics. Then the Shaykh mentioned something very disturbing. He said, you know, these youth are becoming abundant amongst us. But it is very sad that some parents, some fathers dislike this. Yani some parents are dislike the fact that their children are trying to adhere to the teachings of Islam. And so they want them to be involved in all kinds of evils. They don't want them to be upon righteousness. He said this is something that is amazing. And it's an indication of feeble-mindedness. And that the person does not realize the outcome and the consequences of things. How can parents not want their children to be righteous? To be implementing and acting upon Islam. In fact, they want them to go out. You know, this is what is common today. Oh, my son is in England, brother. You know, I've sent my son to America so he could, you know, blah, blah, blah. This is what we, don't say my son, mashallah, he's been practicing since he was a young kid. He has memorized the Quran. My son gives da'wah. No. My son, you know, graduated from blah, blah university in blah, blah country. Khalas. This is Miyamiya. As you, when you see the son, then you meet the son, and he looks like he's, you know, one of these rappers, you know, who come on TV. He has got nothing to do with Islam. So this is the son, ya akhi, that you were bragging about? This is the son you were praising? That you sent him to America, so now he's 50 cents? And we don't have, you know, Muhammad anymore? Khalas, you were happy? No, this is nonsense. But this is a disease among the Muslims in all nationalities. Once they send their children to a foreign country, يعني خلاص, it doesn't matter, he's practicing, he's not practicing, it's irrelevant. I'm not saying everyone, I'm saying some. This is a reality among some. Whether it is among the Arabs or the non-Arabs, this is among the Muslims. This is a problem among the Muslims. So they no longer appreciate a practicing son, they only appreciate a son who graduated from some university. This is the level of respect. This is the level of appreciation. Is he a doctor? Alhamdulillah. If he's not a doctor, no, don't waste my time with this guy. Who's this guy? But this is not the deen of Allah. This is material. This is dunya. This is the way of the kuffar. And we're not saying become ignorant. Let him go learn. No, well, I will not say that you send your child outside this country, period. This is my personal view. But assuming he went out, You know, not we shouldn't get stuck on his accomplishment of the dunya. What is he doing for the deen of Allah? Where is he from the commitment? So some of the fathers have a misunderstanding of this reality, and they don't want their children to be practicing because people say he's a multazim. You know, he's someone who adheres to Islam. He's an extremist. He's a fundamentalist. He's a terrorist. So a parent will prevent his own son from acting upon the sunnah. It's amazing. Amazing. Trying to take him to Jahannam along with himself. Because by preventing someone from following the Quran and the Sunnah, you're basically guaranteeing him Jahannam. And if you are the reason behind that, then you are responsible for all of his sins and disobediences. Why would we do that? If we can't do it on our own as parents, leave our children alone. If he wants to practice, say, Wallah, I wish I were like you. MashaAllah, Alhamdulillah, Allah guided you. I can't be as good as you. But don't stop him. Don't tell him, no, take this out. This doesn't look good on you. Change this, do that. Don't pray in the masjid all the time. Relax. You know, leave them alone. You know, this is a sickness. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to cure the Muslims from this kind of disease. But the fathers and the children need to come together and help each other in order to obey Allah Azza wa Jalla and live according to the deen of Islam. Quickly, in the next part of the khutbah, he said, the enemy of Islam, you should know, that they look at us in a with a look of belittlement, of disrespect. They don't appreciate us, they don't respect us, they don't honor us, even though they come on TV and say something totally different. These things that we are seeing today in the Muslim countries, every Muslim country in India between the Hindus and the Muslims, what's going on? What is the reality of the situation? Muslims are being harassed. Muslims are being belittled. Muslims are being insulted by the Hindus. And in Palestine, same issue with the Jews. In other countries, same issue with the Christians. Everywhere you go, in any Muslim population, we are being attacked, disrespected, and dishonored by the kuffar. Why? Because to them, our blood is cheap. Killing a Muslim is not a big deal. If a young Muslim is kidnapped, no one makes a big deal. But if a British girl is kidnapped, it's on all of the TV stations, all of the news, all over the world. Because she's white, blonde hair, blue eyes. Oh, big deal. But a Muslim is kidnapped, they will find him next week. No one cares. This is the reality. These are the people we're dealing with. So if this is how they feel towards us, then why do we have all this respect for them? If someone doesn't respect you, if someone thinks he's superior to you, then why do you acknowledge that and give him that look of superiority? They don't deserve it. We are superior to them. And they are, as Allah says in the Quran, like the animals. أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلْ. They are like the cattle, livestock, cows, sheep, camel. Nay, they are more astray, more misguided than an animal. This is what Allah says about the kuffar. والله لا يحب الكافرين. Allah does not love the kuffar. He doesn't love them. So why would we love them? So they have been aiming at belittling the Muslims. He said the Jews, the brothers of the swine and the apes, they claim that they are the chosen people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they consider everybody else to be evil, misguided, and they deserve punishment. So they do what they do to the Muslims of Palestine. The Christians, they think that they are the people of advancement, the people of technology, the people of understanding. And they consider everyone who's not like them to be backwards and barbaric and, you know, from the stone ages and the dark ages. And this is something that they are trying to instill in the minds of the believers. And they have been successful to some extent, but they will not be able to be fully successful because Allah says that they try to put out the light of Allah and Allah refuses except that His light will illuminate even if the disbelievers hate it. But we shouldn't get involved. We shouldn't aid them in their evil plans. He said some people amongst us, among the Muslims, the people who belong to the Muslim Ummah, their minds have absorbed the Western ideologies. They have absorbed the Western ideologies so much so that they criticize the people of obedience. They criticize the practicing Muslims. And just look at this war against the Hay'ah. Hay'at al-Amr bil-Ma'roof wa Nahy al-Munkar. These people who dedicate their lives to stop evil. It seems that people are always trying to be on their case. Anytime they make a mistake, they make a big deal. They're trying to put them out. They're trying to put them aside.
by fabricating lies about them so the people will hate them. But these are the people that are actually involved in the rectifying the condition of the society. These are righteous brothers, inshaAllah ta'ala, that are striving for the ummah. Yes, they make mistakes. But some people have been poisoned in their brain. They hate these people. And they criticize them. They make jokes about them. They spread them on YouTube and the jawalat. And people start believing that the Ahlul Al-Hay'ah are evil people. And wallahi, they're not evil people. Furthermore, they don't want Islam to be implemented. They don't want Islam to be implemented. They don't want Islam to govern excuse me, the lives of the Muslims. They want the woman, Jazakallah khair, shukran habibi. They want the woman to go out. They want the Muslims to change their ways. They don't want us to adhere to the Quran and the Sunnah. And we know Islam does not prevent advancement. It does not allow us from technology. It doesn't say you have to use, a bird to send a message, tie a message in a bird and send it. Say no email. Why? Email is akhi from the kuffar. We don't have this extreme in Islam. And we're not speaking about acceptable things. We're speaking about things that deal with Islam. Our deen, matters that are part of our deen that they don't want us to practice, we should not listen to them. So the Shaykh said, O Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily, had the Kaaba, better translation, for the Kaaba to be destroyed stone by stone is easier in the sight of Allah than the blood of a single Muslim to be spilled. He said, this is the value of the Muslim and the believer in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, read the Quran, understand the ayat, reflect upon them, so that you will know your value in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Work on things that will increase your iman. Don't worry about what the non-Muslims and the kuffar are trying to plot against us. You need to check your iman the same way he said you check your children and you check your clothing and you check, you always maintenance. Let's call it maintenance. You have to maintain your iman. Visit your iman. What are you doing? What are you doing? Is your iman increasing? Is it decreasing? Is it sufficient for you to enter Jannah in case you die today? You have to maintain your iman all the time. And this is done by reading the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in finality, I want to share with you a link for one of our brothers, may Allah reward them with goodness, that I think is very beneficial for everyone sitting here. Anyone who speaks English, particularly the youth. There's a brother, his name is Nu'man Ali Khan. Okay? I believe he's Pakistani originally, but he's in the States right now. And he got his education in Riyadh when he was a young kid in the elementary. Anyways, this brother man, mashallah tabarakallah, he got involved into the science of tafsir in English. Something amazing. I mean, you listen, he has a website, bayina.com, bayyinah.com, and then download his tafsir of Juz'u Amma. And listen to tafsir Surah Al-Naba, Surah Al-Nazi'at, Surah Abasa, until the end. After you finish it and you hear it, it will never be the same. If you really want to understand the miracle of the Quran, then you need to listen to the interpretation of the intricacy of the Arabic language. The choice of words is unbelievable. And I'm giving this to the brothers as an alternative. If you really want to check your iman, because we've been reading the Quran for 20, 30 years and nothing is happening. Yeah? We read it in Arabic and we don't understand what it says. And we often don't read it in another language. But if you really want to get involved with the Book of Allah, then we need to understand the meaning of the ayat. So I really highly recommend that you listen to this brother, whom Allah given success, and we ask Allah to increase him in goodness and make him among his righteous servants. Unbelievable tafsir. Word per word of the whole juzu. By the time you finish, you will feel that your iman is brand new. You will think, I can't believe the Quran had all this treasure and I never knew about this. So inshallah ta'ala, this will be means of benefiting. Jazakumullah khairan for your patience. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.